I've had Hebrews 4 on my heart this morning. I've had this word about confidence. And I believe God wants to give us, because in his glory there's a confidence. I think sometimes he shows us something to do or to think or to dress in or to be. And we think, or I've thought anyway, it's how he's taught me, oh, I can't do that. And yet I found that he always gives you the very, very, very best. Whatever he wants to do. So I want you to come into the throne room. Hebrews 4 says, in verse 16, says, let us then fearlessly, just admit you have a lot of fear. Get rid of it. Fearlessly and confidently and boldly. Draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Every need. Appropriate help, well-timed help, just when we need it. There have been times in my life when I've just said, help! God, help. I need well-timed help. I need it now. Right now. And then I just wait. Fearlessly, confidently, boldly. So come fearlessly, come boldly, come confidently before God this morning. Just say help for what you need. Well-timed help coming just when you need it. Because we're not in the earth alone. Father, we thank you for every heart, every mind, every soul pattern that's developed from this realm. That's not in your realm, and I thank you and I praise you. Oh, thank you that we are renewing our minds this morning. We come into the throne room of perfect grace, perfect supply, perfect everything. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And just kind of press in a bit, whatever you normally do in the throne room each morning. Do it a bit more. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for washing this nation with peace. Thank you for this great nation. Thank you. Thank you for revelation today. Being kind, being good. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We lift up this great nation to you and we thank you. Things are changing. Thank you. Directed decisions are being made this particular Saturday morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you're coming into difficult, hard, impossible, tough decisions that need to be made as this whole nation is turning into you and the rest of the world is following. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Europe. Thank you, Europe is no longer sitting in darkness. Thank you. Thank you. You said to ask and you would give us the nations. And we want the nations, all of them, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're in agreement this morning. Amen. Thank you so much. Have fun. Thank you, Lord. Just ask him, you know. Go to the Lord and ask him what you need. Go in the throne room confidently. Confidently, fearlessly, boldly. I know the anointing changes us into another person. You know, I didn't grow up planning to ask God to change nations, but he does, and he puts nations on my heart. In fact, when we were leading, or I was leading the prayer school over in Westminster, it all sort of moved into another realm. And I found actually India on my heart. I'd never been, I didn't particularly want to go, because my friend had gone and got really, really sick. I thought, well, I'm not doing that. You know, dirty water, and he had some virus or something. And I mean, he was sick in Norfolk for like 2 or 3 years. A wonderful man of God, knows the word. But hey, you know, and God sent people to ask me to go and invited me to go. But I kept, when I prayed, I kept feeling they're not really inviting me to go there. They want to come here, and I'm a door. And I was very aware of motives. And I think you should always be aware of motives. Why is this happening? Why are people doing this? What's the purpose in all of this? And always put God first. Don't put him last. Don't ignore what he wants to do. Ask him. Go in the throne room. There was a time in my life when I used to go in the throne room and I would see filing cabinets. And I would open the drawers and I'd say, okay, I'm taking out my file of my destiny. And then it sort of changed after a few months to everybody else's file. I'm taking out your file. Maybe you've never taken out your destiny file that God has written the plan for. Take it out and have a look in it. Start doing it. The Bible says to train up a child in the way they should go. You know? I thank God. I didn't want to learn to type when I was a young teenager, 15, 16. I heard it loud and clear. Learn to type. And I thought, that's really boring. Totally boring. But, you know, okay, I went to secretarial college. Well, thank God I learned to type, because in this day and age, with texting and typing emails and stuff, you need to know how to type. I know you guys learn in school. We didn't. We learned to be helpful, polite, and obedient. And that, I got ribbons. I did really good. I don't know what for. Helpful, polite, and obedient. If you ask my friends, they'll say, "Yeah." Obedient to what? I don't know. Just do the right thing. So when you go in the throne room in the morning, it's really important when you go fearlessly, go confidently. Now, I believe God wants us to learn a little bit about faith, a bit more. So go to Mark 11. Yeah, and verse 24, because faith is really the substance of things we hope for. It really is. Sometimes we get in difficult situations and we think, okay, I want to engage in faith. So we just shift gears from we've been in the throne room, we've let the Spirit of God come upon us and we've let it come upon you, and that's all good. You know, that's all good. But here, let's look at Mark 11, 24. And he says, for this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. So I've asked God for the nations, region by region, nation by nation. Do I want to go to them? Not particularly. But I've asked for them. Is he going to want me to go to them? Maybe. Who knows? I got to see. I can't look at natural things and say, I don't have the money. I don't think it's right. I've got responsibilities that I've got to fulfill. I've just got to say, what do you want? Is it convenient? No, it's never convenient to do what God wants. I've learned, haven't you learned? You want to have a baby, then you're pregnant, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so inconvenient. This is totally inconvenient. And sometimes it feels like that, but God calls you up, and we're going to look at it tomorrow morning more, about going deeper and coming higher. But God doesn't like it when you're afraid. He really doesn't. He wants you to trust him. Trust and be confident. That's what he told me last night. I was looking at some things. And, you know, it's important that we have fresh strength. Because without strength, his strength working in us, which is always, it's always at work within us to do what we can't do. I can't do many things I do, but I know God can. So I'm like, teach me. Teach me. Teach me to trust you. And actually, it's quite scary trusting God. Because you get out of the boat, you start walking on the water, you go into a place you've never been before. But you have to trust him. He dwells in thick darkness, I found out. So all the time, releasing your faith on a greater measure is really important. And what's important about it is that you become confident. I hated receiving offerings. I hated doing it because my mum always told me, you shouldn't mention Jesus and money in the same sentence, darling. So I used to come up in fear and I used to almost beg Rod not to do the offering in our church every flipping week. Oh, come on. And he said, no, you've got a good spirit. You've got to do it in the right spirit. And not everybody does. Some, you've got to give. No, you haven't. You give cheerfully. You give freely. You know, you sow seed. Whether it's tithing, whether it's giving, you're sowing into God's kingdom. And so I would study out, start usually Wednesday or Thursday. Well, I think about it all the time because I always want people to be blessed. Don't you? You want, we're born, we're created to be, to think love, to be love. But we're growing in it. And we express it in different ways. And I think being confident and trusting God, because many times we come into these kind of conferences or church services or gatherings, and we pray these great prayers, but we don't actually receive them. And the Bible's really clear here in verse 24. He says, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, whatever you ask for. I've asked for some pretty wild things. I know you have too. I remember getting so irritated. I wanted some space. And I remember saying to God, God, give me some space. I mean, it was January. I was like, just send Rod to the farthest part of the earth. Send him away. Let me have some space. He rang up 30 minutes later. He was over at the church, I think, and I was in the house, cleaning the house and getting ready for lunch or tea or whatever. And I just wanted some space. I didn't want the provocation. I just wanted to be alone with God. And he said, oh, honey, I've been invited to Australia. And I was like, oh, that's great. No, just me, not you. I'm like, no, that's fine. That's great. He said, well, you just take the church. You can do it. Because you know how guys are. You can do it. Like, okay, help me, God. Well, I got a really bad sore throat a week later and I had to go preach down in Hereford because I used to go out and itinerate a lot and was in ministry, had been in ministry quite a long time. And God was using me to pioneer and break things open, just to walk in the light of his word. And I would go around to these English churches and, oh, I got so sick. I'd lost my voice and, you know, all that stuff. And I blamed Rod. And Rod rang up 3 days later and he said, honey, I just got to share this moment with you. There are like all these birds, and I can't even remember the names of them now in Australia. Parrots, I think they were, or parakeets or something. He said, listen. You know, I'm like, I don't want to listen to that. And he said, and it's like 90 degrees. And I was in High Wycombe, and you have to understand in England, in High Wycombe, it's a dark little place, it's a dark little town, full of witchcraft, very controlled environment, and I was just like, that's great, honey. I was trying to be happy and cheerful, but in my heart, I wasn't. And God began to deal with me, and he said, you see, you asked me, so I did what you asked. And we became, God and I became greater friends because I said, well, don't do everything I ask because sometimes I'm stupid. I don't know what I've asked you, you know. I didn't know the outcome, and you do. And he said, well, no, let's talk now. So then he took me into a whole new level, and I started actually studying about the tabernacle in Exodus 25, how it was a new kind of worship. And I think I mentioned it in the last session. God wants you to make a place that he can come and live in. So when you pray, trust and be confident. Think about what you're asking God to do. God's not going to withhold. Don't think about, I wonder if he hears me. I mean, of course he hears you. I got into this hotel room here and I was thinking, oh, what am I doing here? You know, so many things to deal with back there. So many things that need resolving. And suddenly he just said, hey, I'm right here with you. You know, and you kind of get the shivers. We're talking about God being right there with us. He's like, keep your eyes on me. You can walk and get up, walk anytime you want. Because it happens on the inside. Things happen on the inside. Glory happens on the inside as well as the outside. Okay, so I want you to look at Proverbs 16:10 for a minute. I'm going to take you through some scriptures. Proverbs 16:10. No, it's that way. Who's awake in here? Hallelujah. Well, I'm not. I'm getting there. Proverbs 16. I love Proverbs 16 because I just love it. I love the word. You know, I love getting up and reading things. Proverbs 16:10 says, divinely directed decisions are on the lips of the king. Divinely directed decisions. Now, God knows my future. He knows what I need to do. He knows when I need to stop eyeballing for something and it needs to just happen. Because it happens in the heart. And I remember, actually, a long time ago when I used to live around here, and I used to come up to this church years and years and years ago. I lived down in Brentwood for a while. And Jamie was born at my son was born at UCLA. So it's not like I don't know where I am. I sort of know, I know this place. But making decisions, you've made a decision that you want to know more of God's glory. But that's going to cost you giving up and saying goodbye to some things in your life that are bringing darkness to you. Don't look at me all kind of churchy, please. Please don't do that. Here's a girl that grew up in the Church of England. Sit down, stand up, kneel down. I used to look at my mother with like glaring little eyes. My mother used to say, blessed are the meek. Well, they shall inherit the earth. And I used to hate meekness. Hated it. Hate meekness. What does it mean anyway? Hate it. Oh, dear. But anyway, God deals with you. And so that's a good confession. Divinely directed decisions are on your lips. Sometimes, you know, people really pressure you to make a decision. Things happen in life and you have to make a decision. No, you don't. Sometimes you just don't. That's a big step of faith. Such a big step of faith sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, got to pay this, got to pay that. And then, you know, John's taught me a lot about money stuff. He says, well, they haven't even sent an invoice yet. And I'm like, what's that have to do with it? We've got to pay this bill. A couple of £1,000. We've got to pay it. He's like, no, they haven't sent an invoice yet. I never used to do that. I used to worry about money and worry about owing people money and think about having to make a decision. And I used to quote this verse, divinely directed decisions are on my lips. And one day the Lord said to me, just listen to him, learn from him. He's an accountant. He just doesn't get shook up about money stuff. And I'm like a worrier when it comes to that. I'd rather have a few million in the bank, wouldn't you? It'd be easier to believe and trust God. Just have a few million in the bank. Then I'll do. If I know I've got so much a month coming in, it's like I live differently. I think differently. And God said to me one day, you're always talking about coming into my throne room fearlessly, confidently, boldly. Just come in and get what you want. I'm like, okay. Well, what I want is a mindset free from worrying. Oh, help us, Holy Spirit. We need you. We need you. And years ago, when I was a single parent, I had a wooden statue of Jesus, and it said, the Lord is my shepherd on the bottom. I shall not lack. You know, Psalm 23. And so I started there when we had a little house we rented in El Segundo. And I used to go past the airport, and every day it would say, fly London. I'd think, joking. You know, shove off. My mum sent me a letter and said, oh, darling, the pipes are frozen and broken. And I thought, oh dear, what shame. I couldn't have cared less. I was walking on the beach in Santa Monica, not caring, feeling bad I wasn't caring. But I was happy the weather was like this, 70, 80 degrees, and Jamie playing on the beach. And I mean, my responsibility was to be a mother. My responsibility was not for a broken pipe in England in January when it was freezing cold. That was my mindset. So I've had to learn over the years, and you do learn about the glory of God. You learn to stay in it. You learn when you don't have to make a decision. And that's actually a big one, sometimes not making a decision. Learn to use your faith. Learn to trust God. Learn to really understand, do I need to make this decision right now? Do I need to make this choice? Decisions, choices, assessment. It's all part and parcel of walking with God. Okay, there's a conclusion. And sometimes we don't think through the conclusion of an event. And we haven't really asked God for wisdom, like it talks about in James. Ask me for wisdom and I'll give it liberally. God will give you the plan that will sustain you for many generations, not just right now. You know, so I feel like daring to decide means, well, do I need to make that decision right now? No. Sometimes no. Sometimes just leave it. It'll work out. I remember hearing Kenneth Hagin say, was he pan-trib or pre-trib or whatever? And he said, oh, I'll pan. It'll just all pan out. Sometimes things do just pan out if you just leave it alone. Some things in your life, I would ask you, just leave them alone. Because when God comes, and we're talking about the glory conference, when God comes, he comes big time, really big. He's got a much bigger plan for my life than the sacrifice of a few bits and pieces. He's got a much greater idea of what he sees for my life. And, Steve came over when I was concerned about paying the rent on this barn we rent. And we get a lot of aggravation, you know, because people go up there and their lives get changed and God does it. It is a prayer and healing center. People attack me for speaking about it. I mean, you cannot imagine the stuff I have to go through just to hold the fort up. But that's what we were doing. And one day I was thinking, oh, I should just give it up. What's the point of all this? And I was worrying and concerned about the rent money for it. It's about, I don't know what it is in dollars. It was about $34,000 a year, whatever that is, $40,000 a year. Maybe like you've gone through stuff where you've worried about the rent, you know, because it's nicer to have God give you something. It seems like there's more glory on that. But that's not true. The glory is in trusting him and being confident. See, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is not having the resources in the bank to pay the rent and always calling forth the favor of God. The bottom line is just trusting him, because that's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for you to trust him. When something horrendous happens, you think, oh, what's the point of this? You know, it feels devastating when your number one supporter just moves, goes and says, I'm not going to do this anymore. I feel like God's doing something else. And you go to God. And he showed me the barn drive. And he showed me Solomon. And I'm like, well, how come you did that for Solomon and you're not doing it for me? I know you like me. I know you've chosen me. So what's going on? Have you ever argued with God? I do. God, I don't like what's going on. He's like, well, get used to it. I'm like, well, no, you do something. Come on. You said in Isaiah for us to reason and talk together about it. And I'm like, sometimes I reasoned with him. I don't want to do that. But it's okay to talk to him. He wants this deep, heartfelt relationship. You know, he sent angels to me when I was a very little girl, probably 3. And they said, we've come from the throne of God to tell you, no matter what happens to you, God is with you all the days of your life. I thought, oh, that's nice. I was 3. What did I know? Now I think about it sometimes. I don't think about it every day, just when it comes to me. And I think, God is with you. And like Rod's teaching, let his words go before you. So they deal with situations. You know, I don't get invited to things in Norfolk and my family things much because they know. It's just going to come out of my mouth. A girl, an old friend of mine, phoned, FaceTimed me. She said it was by accident from Los Angeles. And I think it was 2 or 3 days ago while we were up here. And she was picking up a new car, and I thought, well, that's fine. She's Jew. She used to work with me years and years ago. And she said, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I'd FaceTime her. I said, well, you did. So she said, oh, well, I'm sorry. I said, well, it must be God. So with that, she got off quickly. And I thought, that's so funny. If it was a believer would understand even the accidental things are ordered by the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So when something accidentally happens, I think, oh, take a look at that butterfly. Take a look at what just happened. Take a look at who banged on the door. Take a look at who sent me an email. Be active. Be alive. Let divinely directed decisions be on your lips. Be confident. Live confidently in the glory. Don't live like, oh. You know, I mean, God will give you great, he will set you up. I remember a friend of mine in Los Angeles having a bar mitzvah, and I didn't know much about Israel in those days. And she had said to me 2 or 3 days before, I said, well, we need to hire a car, and we haven't done that. She said, oh, don't hire a car, just use mine. So she had this really nice pale blue Mercedes. And I thought, well, that's nice. And somebody had given me some new clothes to wear, so I just swanned up to this bar mitzvah, all dolled up, you know. God had a setup, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And then he began to show you, because remember how I said Moses said, show me your glory. I began to see the glory of God. I just remembered reading how the Gentiles are going to provoke. We're going to provoke them because we walk in the glory. Don't be afraid because God wants you to get up healed and whole and dress nice and somebody gives you a nice car. Don't worry about it. Just go with the flow. Go with God. When something bad happens, something good is going to happen. Oh, Father, we thank you. Help us to understand your goodness. Help us to really understand your goodness. Okay, so let's look at Philippians. Philippians. Sometimes the Lord, as you start something, and I know we've mentioned this before about being citizens of heaven, but you've got to, that's got to be a reality in you. I'm looking for Philippians 1:6. Here we go. I am convinced, I'm sure of this very thing. This is Paul. Remember, he went through lots of stuff. That he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return. You've got to imagine, You know, Jesus is coming back. Yes, he came the first time as a lamb. But he's not coming back that way the second time. Like I've said it yesterday. He's coming as a lion. He's coming totally in charge. Here comes my Jesus. Okay? Don't mess with me. You've got to be ready for when he comes. And he's going to come and help you advance and move forward. And when you look at this, the day he comes, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. I know God's got a much bigger plan. Do you think that Bobby wrote her book so you could have a little bit more detail about being sexually pure? No, she wrote it because she wants to see the world cleaned up. We want to see the world changed. Have a bigger vision than just your church. For goodness sake, have a kingdom mindset. Come on. Have a kingdom mindset. Have a bigger vision than just, I don't know, getting by. So what God started, he's going to finish and he's going to complete. If you don't feel completed, ask God to align you with what you need to be doing and working on. Oh, God, help me. I started into this year and I thought, oh, gosh. You know, we just feel like we're going around in circles, and every time we go around to a different venue, we know what happens. I mean, it's harder physically on the people doing the setup. We get it. But it's hard because you go from one spiritual atmosphere to another to another. It'd be nice just to drive in, get out, and do what you do, huh? But it doesn't always work out that way. But I remember saying to God, okay, you started this. You've got to bring it to completion. So he started you with bits of glory coming into your life. You think better. You speak better. You act better. You're coming into it, but bring it to completion. Huh? Bring it to completion, Lord. Don't let me just park here. Don't leave me just here in this place. Now what happens? God gives you the power to decide. So in talking about decisions, these divinely directed decisions are on your lips. They're on your lips, by faith maybe sometimes. But don't be pressured. Go with the peace. What works? What can you make work? What can you do to bring the glory through your life? You can't actually do anything. It's been offered to you. But you can align with it. And I know when we get in situations, you know, we can either go with the natural or we can go with the glory realm. It's a different realm. There are different realms in the spirit. In this world, I'm sure I've said it here before, there are three realms in the spirit. There's the faith realm, where we live in the earth and we negotiate. And the arguments come, the accuser comes, and you're like, I think you were talking about Sozo and the triggering, things that trigger you. I think we have Sozo in London. I think a friend of mine does it. I just can't remember. But anyway, it's a faith thing. It's a faith realm. And the faith will move you into the anointing, and the anointing will make you look good, and you can do things you couldn't do before. But then you move into the glory realm. When the glory falls, it's amazing. People get healed. It's wonderful. Nobody's upset with anyone. Everybody understands. I remember when I was leading the prayer school, and this girl, friend of mine, Sharon Stone, was supposed to come, and she rang up early in the morning or sent a message through early that morning that she couldn't come. Her mother was dying of cancer, and I thought, this girl is really gifted in the prophetic. And I was really irritated, because now it's like 10 o'clock and I've got to get over to Westminster to start prayer school at 11. And we had this wonderful psalmist, Roland, who's moved to Texas, And he could just play three chords and the presence would fall and we'd know what to do. We'd start going and we'd pray for the politics. We'd pray for the government. Oh, my gosh, would we pray week after week? And intercessors, it was like a new thing in England 15 years ago to understand the prayer of intercession. A lot of the leaders were, and please honour the people, the girls here that intercede, because they are ahead of the game, okay? And so we would be ahead of the game, and we'd be week after week interceding. And I remember she didn't come down. She was supposed to drive down from the north that morning, and I get over to the press school, and everybody's waiting for this anointing from Sharon. I'm thinking, what do I do, God? What do I do? I can't stand up there and look like a fool. He said, just step into the anointing. I'll do the same thing with you I do with her. You know, I had the choice to be afraid, or I had the choice to pray and let my faith make my request to God and believe I received it, Mark 11. You know, make your request to God and not be afraid, but to boldly just step out. And I just moved in this wonderful anointing. I'd look at people and I'd have a word of knowledge for them and I'd begin to prophesy to them and they'd fall out on the ground and stuff would happen. And to me, it was just normal. God was working. God was bringing completion. See, many times it's just we're afraid. We're not confident. Well, it's okay for them to do it. Because I've known her for years, you know, and I know what she moves in. But I wasn't known for that. I wasn't really known for anything till I got known for prayer. And I just used to pray and ask God. Then he'd say, well, if you'll do what you ask me to do, we'll build a relationship. See, many times you're asking God, I'm not meaning to beat up on you, but many times you're asking God to do more. He's saying, I'm going to do it. I'll do what you can handle. But will you do it? And it's not always easy to obey God because sometimes he tells you to obey half of the answer. I'm like, well, what about the rest? Like, no, I just want you to do your bit. I'm like, well, I could do more. No, I don't want you to do more. I planned for someone else to do that. Because God, it's impossible to please God without faith. Huh? So sometimes he wants to develop your faith in finances, in health, in relationship issues, whatever it is. He wants you to develop your faith. He wants you to be able to walk the walk. And not just talk the talk. So there's times when you have to dare to believe God. I think about Mary. Mary, well, let's look at it in, I think it's Luke 1. Remember the angel came and said to Mary? It's an amazing story. It's amazing, amazing story. The angel Gabriel came, and he says to her, you know the story, because we read it every Christmas, you know, and she said, I'm your handmaiden. You know, and listen, guys, you're the sons of God. We're the handmaidens. We've got a job to fulfill. Anyway, I was reading this morning, and I was thinking about how you step out in a good warfare. If God has told you to do something, what happens? You do it. You just do it. I got to find it here for you so you can put it up there. Luke 1, I think it's 38, yeah. Okay, so here's the Amplified Bible. No wonder I couldn't find it. It was in John. I know stuff in my spirit, so don't worry about it. Sometimes it takes me longer to find it. Rod, I always tease him. He's like my walking concordance. I'm like, where's that verse? And he doesn't know. I pull out my phone. But I always call him my walk in concordance. But look, verse 37, start there. It says, for with God nothing is ever impossible. Oh, that we could just have faith for that verse. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So I feel like God just sent us halfway around the world to inject in you the power of possibility. That divinely directed decisions are on your lips. You're going to trust God. You're going to be confident. You're going to become, out of this conference, you're going to become confident. God has said what he wants you to do, and he's going to do it. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. The thing I noticed about heaven was I felt so complete. I get next to Jesus, I'm completed. That's why heaven is so amazing, because everybody is completed. See, everybody is. And so the whole atmosphere is not filled with doubt and reasoning and all that junk. It's complete. You're complete. And that's what I long to see when we have massive concerts in our parks. We see that completion. We see the sound of heaven coming down with musicians and intercessors. And I really do. I'm one of those ones that believes that this last move of God is going to include us in, is going to see a coming together of sound and intercession and music. And the intercession is not where it is now, just resurrecting people. The intercession is seriously in the gap. You know, I felt like, oh, I never want to get into that whole intercession thing again. You know what? And God has been just so sweetly bringing me into places where phenomenal things are happening. And so you can understand when Mary in verse 38 here, she says, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And then the angel just left her. You know, God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. He delights in your prosperity. Took me about a year to actually really be real. God wants you blessed. He delights in you as his child. God loves who you are. So we dare to decide. And we say, like Mary, you know, God's made all the provision of everything, the blood of Christ, his name, his kingdom. Now, let's look in Colossians 1:12. He's made us partakers. I think it's Colossians 1:12. Okay, Philippians, Colossians. You know, it's one thing to show off your knowledge of the word. I've read the Bible a few times, but I know that I know that I know. The most important thing is that I am a vessel that brings honor and glory to God in everything I do and say in the moment. So when something comes, and am I great at this yet? No, ask God, he'll tell you I'm not. I'm not. I panic too. Stuff comes and I panic. And God isn't glorified. But we're talking about the glory. The glory of God is with us. Okay. Colossians 1:12 tells us to give thanks to the Father who's qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is our inheritance. The inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. When you walk through airports and you go through places, you're not necessarily able to talk to people about light and dark because they think you're like with the fairies. Right, I've had that one. I had that when we first went back to England years ago when we lived here. And I went back on a sightseeing, go see, have a look kind of thing. And the lake, it was a Laker flight. And I thought I'd be good and save some money. Don't try and save money. My father paid for me to fly back, and I could have flown back on BOAC, but I was poverty-minded in those days. I was a single parent. I was more concerned with feeding my son than flying first class. Well, you know what? We got on that Laker flight. It was horrendous. It was so horrendous. We got on the plane took off, and it filled up with black smoke. Hello. I mean, it's about as big as this room, the plane. And I'm like, oh, my God. What difference does it make if you're first class or economy then? Doesn't make any difference at all. You'd certainly start praying. And a voice came and said, if any of you are having a problem, you're welcome to come up to first class. I said, Jamie, come with me. You know, he was just a kid. I just yanked him. We went and sat up in first class. And we'll give you some orange juice. I thought, well, that's better than this. You know, if I'm going to go down, I might as well go down with orange juice in style. I didn't have faith. And we're flying over El Segundo, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is stinking, this plane, full of black smoke, horrible, horrible, horrible. And boy, did I go into prayer. Boy, did I do some things when I first walked with God and was first born again. That looking back, you know, you think differently. And I remember when finally the plane landed and they apologized and said they'd get another plane and they'd pay for us to go to a hotel. And I thought, well, we only live around the corner. We lived in El Segundo. We might as well go home. Then I thought, no, we won't go home because then you mind your emotions. You kind of get into that. So, okay, we'll go to the hotel. And we went downstairs to talk to some people. And I was calm. I mean, one woman was shaking visibly. She was so shook up. And I said, oh, we'll get on another plane. We'll get there. It'll be all right. You know, but I remember starting to talk about light and dark. Light is with me. This is just a dark moment. And the people look at you like they're scared. They're scared of you. See, we need to be vessels of honor. Our conversation does need to be ordered all right. And in those days, it was just like, you know, I didn't understand that life was a trial. Living down here, you're going to have to deal with stuff and wield your sword. I didn't understand that. I just thought every day would be beautiful. Now I was born again. Every day will be just wonderful. Of course it will be. And stuff would happen. And I'd have to learn the word. And I was in a church in LA that taught the word, taught the word, taught the word. And then I'd go over to this other church, and I'm not going to name names, but it isn't really that much different today. We're getting better. We are getting much more united, much more intermingled. But then I went to this church, it was all lovey-lovey and touchy-touchy and, you know. But when people hit a trial, they didn't know what to do. So I used to think, well, this is stupid. I like the worship. I love the ooey-gooey, and I like all the touchy-touchy and the friendliness. But, you know, you've got to be a warrior. God is looking for warriors, new warriors, fresh, young meat. He is. He is. So make a decision, that, just like Mary, nevertheless, according to your word. You know, nevertheless, you have said, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. When Rod came out of the barn that day and said, I got to keep it simple. And I thought, oh, yeah, Bubba, here we go. I've been telling you for years to eat right and take care of your body. You know, I was like, and he said, I am the healed of the Lord. And I went, huh? And that's all he ever said. I'm the healed of the Lord. He kept a right perspective. And I remember when I was at home the first month, 4 or 6 weeks, when he was in hospital. God, it was hard. It was so hard. Because I didn't have the same kind of faith for healing that he had. He had great faith. But I had faith for finances that he didn't have. I had faith in other areas. You have to understand, when the glory comes, it comes in the fullness. The fullness of capacity. So keep things simple. Go with what you know, like Psalm 23, make it. I just knew the Lord was my shepherd. I knew I wasn't to lack. I knew it wasn't God's will. The glory comes and it shows you, it lights up. In heaven, everything is gold, gold and gold. And I said to Rod about a month ago, I said, you know, there's no blue sky in heaven. And he just kind of looked at me. I said, there's no blue sky. I didn't see any blue sky. I saw everything was glorious. Everything was wonderful. In fact, when I looked down at the earth, because I, at one point in that vision, whether I was in the body, whether I was out of the body, who knows? I don't know how God did that day. I don't know. I only know I was crying out for mercy. I was crying out to him. You have to really cry out sometimes to God with what you want. Because sometimes it seems like I haven't got his attention. That's not really true. The truth is he does hear everything, but it's a relational thing. I know when I lived around the Rolling Stones, it was like relational. Oh, God, I thought you'd be with me all the days of my life. It didn't feel good. I don't want to go in the studio tonight. I don't want any more rock and roll. I've had enough partying. I've had enough of it. You know, when you start hearing your inside conversation and you start moving from that, there's a confidence that comes upon you. So I want to encourage you. What is deep on the inside of you will come out in the throne room. So it's important to spend time fearlessly and confidently in the throne room with God. Just be alone with him. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want me to pray? What do you want me to ask you for? What can I pray that when I ask, I believe I receive it? It's not just saying a few words. When I pray, believe, I receive it. And so when Rod came out of the barn that day and said, we were sitting outside, I was having people over for lunch, and he said, I am the healed of the Lord, and I'm coming off that list, because our phones had to be on the whole time. And they were like controlling us at 2 a.m. We had Dutch Sheets in a meeting in, I think we didn't call it Chosen, then we called it Ignite. And Jamie and Lish had come over and we had music. And it was just like we'd moved from London out to Norwich. And there's a real governmental anointing out there. And we were so controlled. Do you think about what's controlling you? You have to do this. Sometimes we do the same things week after week because there's an expectation. There's an expectation of us. You know, somebody introduced me in church once and said, oh, this is the pastor's wife. And I felt like saying, excuse me? I knew not to be rude. But I'm not a pastor's wife. I'm me. And God loves me when I do things what he wants done. And the connotation of a pastor's wife, you're looking at the wrong person. I could put my, no. I like it the way it is. It's easier. Oh boy, help. Trust and be confident. Welcome the new into your life every day. Just welcome God in. And I had to say, I didn't marry a pastor and I'm not going to fit into a mold. Other people want you to fit into a mold. Find out in the throne room. Spend time in the throne room confidently, fearlessly, boldly. What do you want? What's next? You know, because you hear in the natural of things that are supposed to happen and they don't happen. I had to make a decision a while back. Things haven't panned out in my life the way I expected them to. Doesn't mean they aren't going to, but there are some people who we were talking about, someone else. There's a huge call on his life. But his attitude is completely cranky and wrong. Sorry. You know, and you're always the wrong one, right? I know you have nobody in your life who always thinks they're right and you're wrong. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Give us the grace, give us the confidence to remain steadfast. That's what it's all about. It's standing your ground. So let's go back to Proverbs 16. And let's thank God that divinely directed decisions are on our lips and that we have confidence. Huh? Look at this in Proverbs 16 at the end of the chapter, verse 33. It says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is wholly of the Lord's. Even the events that seem accidental are really ordered by him. Oh, I remember we used to pray in the prayer school over there in the center, week after week. And every week, suddenly I realized there was some legislation being passed that was against God's kingdom. And I thought, but last week we were praying about marriages, the week before about abortions, whatever it was. And the Lord said to me, look, I want you to come up to a higher place. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's my decision what happens. The decision is wholly of the Lord. Even the events that seem accidental are really ordered by him. And the Lord took me by revelation to this place then, and I've never forgotten it. It's like because I go in and out of this place all the time. And I remember thinking, you know, you guys think you're all making these decisions, but actually whatever happens, it's like God wants things to happen, like with us coming out as a nation of Europe under the rule. He wants that. That's God's will. So you're looking at somebody who's, I'm totally pro it. Get out and stop all this confusion. And it's going to happen. We're coming out. It's just the way it is. And I remember standing up here years ago when God told me to pray for Donald Trump. I don't say I particularly liked him. I didn't know him. I've never met him. So I shouldn't say that. But he told me to pray for him. And I asked him, I said, why do I have to pray for him? He's a businessman. This was 3 or 4 years ago. And he said, because America needs a loud voice. That's why you pray for him. He needs to be a loud voice because in the earth, who else is going to be that strong? Do we have a loud voice coming out of Italy or France or Germany? No, or Poland. No, we need, Trump has got a loud voice. People sit up and take notice. Huh? And that's what you need in America. So I don't have a problem with his flesh. God sort that out. Huh? I pray that you have a new beginning in your prayer life in this church. I pray this church moves into such powerful prayer and intercession. Such powerful prayer. Because people will just knock you off your pedestal if they can. But you have to learn to stand first. There has to be a confidence in the glory of God. A confidence to show off God's glory. There has to be a fearlessness. You know, anyway. So Proverbs, divinely directed decisions, divinely directed choices, assessment, conclusion. I remember, Roddy's such a dear, he said to me, you're only praying for Mel Gibson because he's good looking. I said, you're such a jealous person, stop it. I'm not, God told me to pray. For him. And he did. I didn't know he was directing the passion. I had no idea. I only know that God wants to do some things in the earth, and I'm available as an intercessor, if you like. I'll just be available. If he wants to do Joe's next year, we'll do it. He'll show me the strategy. It's not like we just do everything. We do church every Sunday. We do Chosen every year. We do it once a month in London when we get the thing in order. You know, it's God. Life is about God. If you're done in this realm, you're done. If you haven't finished, you've got to have to fight, maybe. Some people are in a bit of a fight. Huh? But that's they're made for it. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying I want you to be confident I want you to be confident in the glory of God. That's the thing I want you to take away from this morning. Yesterday was about strength from me. Today it's about confidence. I go in the throne. I don't know why I keep looking at the speaker. I think it's because God wants a new sound in the whole earth. That's what I carry. Okay, he wants a new sound. He wants new creativity. He wants these girls and the guys who play to sing his heart. And his heart is not always what you think. Sometimes he's nudging me. Go on, come on, keep going. I'm like, oh, joking. You know, and listen. James 1 tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. What does wisdom mean? The big picture, the full-on picture. The big picture. Why are you in the season that you're in? Why are you learning? Why is this conference glory? I get shocked because I think I have an international heart that the United States and the United Kingdom need to become one. And it will happen. And you guys are so faithful to come across the bridge every year. And you bring California to us, and then we rally the troops to come back, and we never know who's going to come, same as you don't, you know. And it seems like it would be nice if 10,000 of you could come over, but that's not the way God works, you know. And there's different times that you're coming and going, and different times that we come and go, and you know, kick up the dust and say, come on, listen, we need your prayers. You need our prayers. You need us to come and to stand the ground when we say we command the Red Sea to part. You need us because we carry an authority that's a God-given authority. Not something we ask for. It's something that's happened, that when we lay hands on the sick, they do recover. You rally the troops. I remember when I felt that fear hit me, I said, I think it was probably to Bobby, I said, God, we got to rally more prayer. And Debbie Porsche was giving me the oils, and I was getting into that. I'd do anything to get victory. But I learned the only thing that gives you victory is God. You have to keep that clear. And I remember the day I came home from the hospital, and Rod always wanted these cheese sandwiches. I'm like, ugh, whatever do you want? Because I don't know, it was comfort food or something. I don't know what it was. Or just going every day. Who knows? You know, I'll be in trouble anyway, but I'm in trouble, so what difference? I don't care. I am who I am. I am who I am. Because of I am. He said he'd be with me all the days of my life, so he's with me. So I'm not shook up. Actually, we've gone to the outlets less. This time we've been closer. But the time I went, I got what I needed. So who cares? Anyway. God can do everything for you, but you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. The glory of God's going to show up. But how do you make it, Brad, you break it down? I don't know. I try something on. I say, does this glorify you? Nah. I'm like, okay, I'm not getting it. We go to a place, we go to eat. What do you want me to eat? You know, am I so hopeless and so blonde that I have to ask God about everything? No, I do it because I honor him. I've learned to be sensitive, to let the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me and show me. And when I step out of the boat and I don't know where I'm going, he does. So I've learned to trust. It's a learning curve. Are you girls coming up? Good. I love your worship because I feel like God wants us just to spend some time in the throne room this morning and, you know, ask him what he wants from your life. Because we can get so cluttered up and so busy, had so many busyness going on, you know. And I only know that, you know, You've got to make a decision. I feel some of us are going to make some decisions. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to be that millionaire in this congregation. Actually, multi-millionaire. I already live like, I already think like that. And I told you I gave a pound. Why? Because a few weeks back, that's all I had. You know, and it's humbling. So as we, why don't you just stand up with me and we'll worship the Lord a bit. However we're going to do this, I don't know. I don't know. But isn't Angela amazing? Oh, she's come all this way. Rod and I were remarking this morning how amazing you are. Come on up. She helps me with Chosen hugely. I mean hugely, because she's got a full-time job, you know. And we're a very small team. And Antonio, you're just something else. You just come out. You're the same age as my granddaughter. Oh. Woo! Is she great? Is she great? I want us to go in the throne room. I want us to, maybe you girls, I mean maybe, of course you can, lead us in with music. And I want you to think about what you're asking God for and what you're confident about. What are you really confident about? Okay? Some of you have confidence for things that we don't have confidence for, but I want you to have confidence. I don't know what we're going to sing, and Paul's not here. Rod wanted some boy time with him. Yeah, they've gone, so don't wait for him. Did he ask me? No. No, he just went. I'm like, if you think that's more important than me needing him, that's fine. Oh, I was not very gracious. But I'm learning. I've got a big L plate on too. Okay, Father, we just come in. We come in confidently, fearlessly, boldly. We come in. We come right in to the throne room and we thank you for what you want for the rest of today, for what you want for our lives. We thank you. We have a confidence because we've heard from you, and we thank you and praise you. We will hold the ground. So you just are dismissed, you demons of darkness. We dismiss you. You're not going to trigger stuff in us. Light up the darkness for him to be glorified. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You put it on the inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Help us to be, Holy Spirit, far more Christ-like. Help us to know and to understand what we need to do to turn many battles at the gate. There are many things that we need to be doing in the next 6 months. We thank you. We thank you for all the changes and all the new beginnings that are coming. We thank you, Father. Thank you. But thank you that we'll always be confident. If there are places where we're not really confident that you can do a work in our day, we thank you. Come on. Come on. God will provide. It might seem like the 11th hour, but he will provide. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on. We resist that which would block the blessings of heaven, the glory. The glory is victorious. It means you're victorious. In Jesus' name, whether it's your health, whether it's your money, come on. Like I said yesterday, put that darkness under your feet. God is victorious, and he always leads us to a victorious platform. You just don't give up. You be confident. You ask him to help you. Get personal. God is waiting for us to get so much more personal with him. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I saw just as Julie was closing that for each of us, we could just by faith, because it's a practice of using faith in his presence, that creates an experience that we're wanting. And I saw the things of darkness that would try to pull us down, whatever they are. They're often so familiar and they come around so often that we almost think they're just unavoidable. And I saw it's just every one of us just stepping up on top of it and coming into the light. Can you do that? Just right now, just step up on top of it and get over, get above it. And there you are in the brilliant light of his presence, his kindness, his victory, his triumph, his joy. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Wow. Julie, once again, thank you for calling us up and in, further, deeper, higher up, powerful. So we will be taking a break. We will come back at 2:00. If you have questions you want us to the panel to address, then please, we need you to do it right away so we can get them all on a sheet of paper and facilitate that. You drop off, you can write them on any paper back there at the registration table, or send to an email with the question to prayer@jubileechurch.org, and we will then collect them, and we'll have panel, which is Rod and Julie, Bobby, Cammie, and myself. Also, then we're going to do commissioning and communion then commissioning, because God really wants to seal this and send us, because it's in the going is where we're going to do the growing. So it's going to be great. Lunches in the cafe. Enjoy. Let's be back together at 2 o'clock.